Well, welcome. This is the Prayer Closet. It's that half hour we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request today, we want to pray for you today on the Prayer Closet. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. Let us know what your need is today so we can lift it up before the Lord. Whether it's big or small, it doesn't matter. All things belong to God, and all things should be brought before Him. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com, and let us pray for you today. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information, so need not worry about that. Don't let that keep you from getting the help that you need. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. Lord, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we have to come before you and seek after you, to lift each other up before you in prayer, to receive the help that you of your Spirit and your might and power at work in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you are such a good and gracious God and that you love us and care for us in such mighty ways. And we pray that you will continue to work in our hearts and our minds. You will bless us and encourage us. Lord, even as you're working in maybe even some difficult situations that may come today through these prayers, Lord, as you're revealing your power and might, you're leading us to faith. You're leading us to grow in you. You're leading us to evermore reflect your glory in our lives, that you may be praised and exalted. So, Lord, we lift you up. We glorify your name this day. We ask that you would glorify yourselves in the lives of your people, that we might be bearers of that glory into this dark world and bring the hope of the gospel with us. And we pray this in your name. Amen. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. That is how to get your prayer request to us. And before we get into our prayer request, we always like to get into the Word of God. And today, we're continuing our journey through the book of Philippians. We're in Philippians chapter 3. We're going to pick it up at verse 10. And Paul, yesterday, if you remember, we talked about how Paul outlined, you know, all his accolades as a Pharisee and all the things that he had done and all his achievements as a Pharisee, but how he now considers them all rubbish and garbage for the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. And we're going to pick up there in verse 10. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to obtain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You know, there's several things to look at here. This is such a great passage that Paul writes. You know, one, we see his heart, his passion. Paul had a singular focus. He had a singular focus. He was all about one thing, and that was to know Jesus. I like to watch these cooking shows. I like to cook, and so I like to watch all these cooking shows. And I like to watch cooking shows like take you to different countries and show you different foods and different parts of their culture and stuff. And one of the things is every once in a while they'll come across somebody who's dedicated their life to one thing. I remember watching a show, and there's this guy in Japan. He's got this noodle shop. It's just this tiny little noodle shop. He runs it all by himself. Gets up early every morning to make noodles, and he makes them the old-fashioned way. You know, he lays out the dough, and he's got this big wooden beam, you know, and he puts one leg over the beam and uses that to push down on the dough and just painstakingly making this dough and these noodles. And just every part of it he does himself. He just every day shows up and does this thing, and the same thing, you know, same noodles, same dishes. And it's hugely popular. People love coming there. They're considered some of the best noodles in the world. And these noodle dishes that he makes in Japan. He is a man of singular focus. He's not changing out his menu. He's not opening up new restaurants. He is focused on one thing and one thing only. And that is making these noodles. And does the same thing every day, day after day after day. Now we may look at that and say, oh my gosh, that would get so boring. But he had a singular focus. You know, what drives him? What drives him is to create the greatest noodles in the world. And make them right. And every day, that's what he gets up to do. He has a singular focus. Well, here we see a singular focus of Paul on something a little more important than noodles, on Jesus. And this is something I think has been lost a little bit in our culture, you know, because we find it hard to focus on one thing. I remember there was an article several years ago called, Is Google Making Us Stupid? and it was about this journalist and talking about how through the internet, be able to Google things and reading things on the internet, that he had lost the ability to focus on just reading a long book. He said, you know, I sit down to read a book, you know, War and Peace or something, you know, some big long book that, you know, people used to read all the time. And, you know, after a while, you're like, okay, well, what else can we do here? He said, I just found it almost impossible to keep my focus for a long period of time. I used to be able to read for hours and hours and hours on end. He says, now it's like, I'm going to check my phone, see what's going on over here. Check this internet site, that internet site. Okay, go back to reading a little bit. Okay, wait, let me check this over here. Our focus is all over the place. You read the church fathers, and one of the things that strikes you about them is that they often had the ability to think deeply about a single thing. They weren't trying to write about everything. They would just take the time to think deeply and long about one thing and go into great detail about it. And now we're like, yeah, all right, we got it. Let's move on. Let's get the next thing. We've lost that ability. And it impacts us in ways that are a lot more important than can we sit down and read a long book. I think it impacts our faith, our ability to stay focused on Christ. Because just as we're distracted in our lives by all these things, we think we're distracted in our faith by them as well. Do we have that singularness of purpose, that singularness of vision that Paul has when he says, you know, all I want is to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings? That's everything that motivated him. Can we say that? Or are we so distracted that we're chasing off after a million other things? Now, if you're out there listening saying, oh, you know, that's me. I mean, I'd love to say I want to know Christ and the fellowship of sharing his sufferings and knowing his, being united with him, his death and attaining resurrection. I want to say that's just the singular focus of my life, but man, I do get distracted a lot. Well, don't despair, because look what Paul says this next. He says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Paul says, I haven't done this perfectly. This is my desire. My desire is to know Christ. It's my singular passion. But I got to confess, I'm not there yet. I'm still growing in this. I'm still learning. I've not obtained this yet. But here's what I am doing. I'm pressing on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. For that salvation, that knowledge, that relationship with him, that he grabbed and took hold of us to invite us into his kingdom, be a part of his people, that he would be our God and we would be his people. And that's what he took hold of me for, and that's what I am going to try to endeavor to take hold of him for. I'm taking hold of that. I'm trying to live out that reality, that truth that God has placed in me, and I'm pressing on. I'm not doing it perfectly, but I'm pressing on. It's still the thing that's guiding me and directing me. And he goes on to say, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You know, he's got that goal. The goal is set before him. The goal is Christ and to know Christ. And that is his focus. And that's what he is set on. And he's striving every day to get there. Not that he's done it. Not that he does it perfectly. But he's striving towards it. This reminds me of a book by a man named Brother Lawrence called The Practice of the Presence of God. Brother Lawrence was a monk. And I think the 1500s, I'm going to say. Maybe the 1600s. And he worked, and he wasn't like a great leader in the monastery. He wasn't founding monasteries and setting up networks of monasteries. He was just an average, ordinary, everyday monk. He worked in the kitchen. He was a dishwasher. He actually preferred fixing shoes, like being a cobbler, but he ended up in the kitchen, and he didn't really care for the job, but he made the best of it. He had a bit of a limp, apparently, so it made him hard to get around. So here he is. He's this monk. He's working in a monastery. He is in a job he doesn't particularly like. He's washing dishes. This does not seem like a position from which someone could actually impact people. But Brother Lawrence set a goal for himself. His goal was to consciously think about God every moment of the day. Now think about that. How often do you... Can you say you think about God every moment of the day? How often do you think about God in a given day? Hopefully you think about him some, right? And obviously if you're listening to SFM and other stations like this, you're going to, right? Because you're going to hear the music and the teachings, and it's going to turn your mind toward God. That's part of why we're here, to help us keep focused, right? So we turn on the music, and we hear songs about God and teachings about God and prayer about God. And so that kind of helps us keep our mind on God. So if you're listening here, you're going to think about God some. But how often do you get into work and you start working and you're just busy and blah, you just 2 hours, 3 hours have gone by. It's like, oh, I haven't thought about God in 3 hours. You know, until the project gets delayed and you're like, oh, Lord, help us. They move up the deadline. Lord, help us to finish. It's so easy just to get caught up in our day and get distracted from God. And so Brother Lawrence set about to say, I'm going to think about God consciously every moment of the day. I'm going to set that as a goal for myself. And so a booklet was written. It was actually written by a friend of his about this journey, this effort that he made and what he did to try to bring God consciously to the fore of his thinking. So here's this guy. He's a dishwasher in a monastery. He's not important. He's not significant. He's not well known. And yet his life continues to impact people hundreds and hundreds of years later. The practice of the presence of God is considered a classic of Christian devotion. And he's impacted the lives of countless Christians, thousands, millions of Christians who have read his work. It's a very little thin little book. It's not long. But it all came about because he had a singular focus to keep his eye on God and pressing on toward the prize. And because of that, his life became a life that impacted millions of people and is impacting people still hundreds of years after his death. That's what happened. That's the power of focusing on God. That's the power of saying, I want to know Christ, and I'm pressing on toward that goal, and I'm not going to be let anything deter me from that. And every day I'm going to try to do better. I haven't obtained it yet. I'm not there. I'm not perfect. But one thing I do, as Paul says here in verse 13, brothers, I do not have consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Not only is Paul focused on Jesus and knowing him, but he's not letting past failures get in his way. He's forgetting what is behind. Forget what came before. Today I'm going to press on toward that goal. I'm going to strain toward what is ahead. Jesus is ahead of me. I am following him, which means he's ahead of me. And so I'm going to keep my focus on him. I'm not going to worry about where I stumbled yesterday. I'm going to follow him today. I'm going to keep my focus on him today. I'm going to forget what's behind. I'm going to forget the failures. I'm going to forget even the successes. I'm going to leave that behind to keep my focus on him, to press on toward that goal. When we can come to that point in our life where we're living that way, where our attitude and our thoughts are such that that's all the prayer of our heart and the desire of our heart, that's when we're living the way that we should. And as Paul says, again, you know, not perfect. He's not obtained it yet, but he's straining for it with everything he has, pressing on toward the goal. Today, set Jesus as the heart and focus of your life. Set him as the goal of your life. Set your heart and mind upon him and strive after him with all that you have. And you experience the power. Your life will make a difference. And though we do not we do it perfectly, if we're straining ahead, pressing on toward the goal, we will win the prize. So keep Jesus as the focus of your day today. See the difference it makes. Then we'll come back with your prayer requests, 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. If it is the prayer closet, 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893 to get your prayer requests to us. You can also email or text at prayer@yeshome.com. And we got a prayer request in here. It says, prayer for a classmate suffering from a brain tumor. She is weak and needs lots of prayers. Lord, we do lift up this young woman to you, this classmate who's suffering from this brain tumor, obviously having a dire effect on her health. Lord, we pray for healing. We pray that you would shrink that tumor in her brain, that you would just remove it, Lord. You would just shrink it down into nothingness. Lord, that you would alleviate this struggle that she's going through, this pain that she's in, this weakness that she feels. You would bring healing and health to her, strength to her body, and strength to her soul. Lord, pray that she would turn to you and seek after you for help and hope and strength, that you would lift her up, empower her, strengthen her, help her, so that she would encounter you in a fullness of your glory as you glorify yourself in her life and bring healing to her. So we lift her up into your hands and into your providential care and pray this in your name. Amen. Remember, if you have a prayer request for us, you can always get that to us at prayer@yeshome.com. You can call our office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m., to 4 p.m. There's always somebody here. Be happy to pray for you. And you can get connected to an online spiritual coach by going to our website, yeshome.com. Click on the chat now button and you can get connected to an online spiritual coach for an online chat session. That's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Prayer Closet. We'll be back with you tomorrow. God bless everybody. Have a great day.